I would like to go back to Timothy. Interesting, for a few days I've been listening to the meetings and between the meetings, and I've had a burden to share. And half of it was what our brother has told us. And you know, I want to just add to what he was saying that about Mary, the mother of our Lord. When she heard something she couldn't understand, she hid it in her heart. And you know, that's for us. You know, in the book of Ephesians, where he starts off with worship, the apostle sitting in jail and some adverse circumstances beyond what I'm aware of. And the Spirit of God reaches down all the way from the heights of glory, takes hold of his heart and raises it up. He just can't hold anymore. He just overflows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, in the end of that chapter, he's praying for them that they might know the hope of their calling. They might know three things. And so what? In other words, it's not, beloved, how fast we know things. It's our heart. Do we have any room to hide anything in there for a while? So that when we listen to something we don't quite lay hold of, we can't quite put in its place, is there any room there to hold it like Mary did? She just said she put those things in her heart and kept them there. And the world so around us has so much to fill our hearts, there's no room left. But just to add that to what our brother said. I'm thinking of this thought. Godliness, be like God. I want to tell you something about our God that we read in this epistle to Timothy. It's chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but against all these things, but for the lawless and disobedient and so forth. And down in the end of verse 10, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, now that reads differently, the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. You know, this word blessed here is not the usual word as I understand it. The usual word found is the word worship word. It's eulogized, well spoken of, be our God and Father who has spoken of us well in all heights of glory. Here's the word that we find for happy. And I was curious about the word one day. I wanted to know what that word meant. How did it suit God? We talk about happy. And I found that it had a contrast, and that's the way that I gathered a thought from it, is that it's large. You know, the Lord Jesus said, my heart is just held in. He says, I can't break free. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened until it be accomplished? And the Lord Jesus passing through the way of the cross, and he has just opened out God's heart. Now God, we might say, is a large one. He reaches out. You know, if I were speaking about preaching the gospel, I'd say, why would I go preach the gospel out there to save that sinner? Because God wants him saved. That's godliness, isn't it? God doesn't want that man to go to hell, that woman go to hell. Why would I want to go preach the gospel? God wants him saved. You know, there's something more than that. When the Lord Jesus Christ went into death, and we've had that before us today, and he was there in death, and Ephesians 1 would tell us that God raised him from the dead, and when he did, he just blew it all apart. But not only did he blow death and hell all apart and broke it all out, he took his beloved Son up to the heights of it all. Capstone of all his glories that he has there, is seated there in the height we learn in Ephesians 1. He was given to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, we've had before us for a few days the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Spirit. And I would just like to add a few thoughts to that, to what's been said. And also, I overheard someone the other day saying, well, what do I miss if I don't understand this subject of the baptism of the Spirit? Well, I mean, I've got the Spirit, so what do I miss? What am I missing if I don't understand this subject of the baptism of the Spirit? You know, beloved, our God has not used any extra word. We've just heard it. He does not use one idle word, and if He said it, He had a blessing in it for us. And if you don't understand it, don't set it off to one side as though God said something that wasn't important. Put it in the heart. You know, whenever the Lord Jesus was raised up on high and God says, well, I want to tell everybody. You know, I'd like to use an illustration. I trust it's not irreverent. But in my way of thinking, a simple way to think about it is, at least the way I've thought of it is this, and I trust it's not irreverent thinking of God, because the minute I think of God, I'm in waters over my head, but I think of God in time, before time, back in eternity somewhere, God the Father turns to God the Son and says, Son, go down there and tell them how much I love them. See, how would I ever do that? So we get God the Son coming into this world. And you know, as He goes through all the work, and He does a work that so delights the heart of God that it just flows. God flows out now, the large God. Now He's come down, and we've talked about the Spirit of God being on earth, and now He's back up there in glory, and we learn from John 16 that the Spirit of God comes down, and as it were, He would say, go down there and tell them how glorious I am. Go down there and tell them the things that are mine. Reveal to them the unsearchable riches of the Christ. You know, it was said in the meeting a day or so ago, I forget, that the Spirit of God, you know, really would glorify Christ and that we would say amen to. It's used in the Gospel of John. It says the Spirit does not speak of, or better said, from Himself. Says the same thing about the Son of God. God the Son, He does not speak from Himself is the right word, and I would think that that means God the Son stood here, a body prepared Him, and He could look at any man that He ever saw, whatever, and He had all knowledge of every thought that man ever had or would have had, could see right into his heart. He never used that. He did not speak from Himself. He said what He was told to say. As we just heard a few minutes ago, mark of His divinity. He didn't say anything He wasn't told to say. Now, that's the same thing I think it means when we get over to the Spirit of God being on earth today. He does not speak from Himself. He does not come down. He is God to display, to set forth all that He knows. He comes down with a special mission to tell us about the glories of Christ. You know, I was thinking of the questions that God asked Adam. Where art thou? What hast thou done? Oh, beloved, can we look up to our Savior and say, where art thou? That's what the Spirit of God would have us know. He's not here anymore. Where art thou? And then, what hast thou done? Oh, beloved, we belong to God according to His own purposes. I think it was mentioned this morning, the verse, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Could any of us say that as God looked down on that man and judgment pouring out on him, judgment that eternity couldn't tell us about, how horrible was one of my sins? Judgment poured out. Could anyone say that was what He was talking about? He says, it pleased Jehovah to bruise Him. No, He's looking on to the result. On to what He was getting at. What was really in God's heart? What was He really after? We read on and finish that verse. It says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, then the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. Oh, beloved, in our lives, are we concerned about the pleasure of the Lord? Do we have thoughts in our hearts that are not according to sound doctrine? According to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. You know, every word of God is an occasion for communion with Him. Never think that it takes a lot of intelligence. It only takes a heart. I repeat it, every word of this written book we have before us is an occasion for me to have communion with Christ over it. Oh, I don't understand what that means. Oh, wonderful. He wants to tell you. Go to Him and ask Him. He wants to take that word and share it with you, what it really means. And you know, when the Lord Jesus went up on high, He was so glorious that John tells us there's nothing in creation that can ever receive Him in His glory. He must be glorified in God. John 13, and if God be glorified in Him, He shall straightway glorify Him in Himself. So when it comes to the things that we would have, as our brother has said, to have Christ before our souls, I would say, let's put that in these questions, where art thou and what hast thou done? See what unfold the glories of that. We're told they're unsearchable, and we're told that His love exceeds all knowledge. But how would we ever know it? You know, the only thing that presently God could do, and I shouldn't say that, I shouldn't say the only thing God can do, but the thing that would answer to the heights of the glory of Christ gained at Calvary's cross, as He enters there in all that glory and the joy just broke loose that has never stopped till today. You know, we heard last night of the joy of a saved sinner. It's the same joy still flowing on. And it'll flow on forever and ever. The joy that was there when He entered in glory itself. You know, the only thing that presently would answer to that is that God the Spirit had to come down. Nothing less would have suited that. God the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in the hearts of those who will trust Him and say, I'm saved. I believe the gospel of my salvation. I'm saved and I trust Christ and He saved me. Amen to that. He comes in and dwells, and as we've heard, He seals. He's the unction. He gives life. His presence here with us is the earnest and all these things. Nothing less could have answered to the glory of Christ. And that's what I think our brother was saying a couple of days ago. The Spirit of God will always glorify Christ. His very presence does that. What else could have brought Him down? And He comes all the way out of the heights of glory down to you and me and dwells in my poor heart, dwells among us, dwells in us. Has, I like the thought our brother is using, he says, immersed. I like the thought engulfed. God says, I want Bill Warren, all of you, and He reaches out like this, sends His Spirit who brings us all in and makes a new thing, one body. And it's in that character that He reveals Christ to the soul. Made known as head over all things to the church. He's made known. Christ is head over all things, but He makes it known to us, the church, His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all known. And you know, the glories of God are such a vast panorama, as we would just stop to meditate on them, we just get lost. But oh, I can see a little and hide it right in here. Until the Spirit of God comes along to make it real to my soul. And I begin to see a little more. Lord Jesus, where art thou? What hast thou done? And you know, thinking about again, preaching the gospel. The Lord Jesus didn't need me and you to preach the gospel. And He didn't use anybody when He saved Saul of Tarsus. But you know what? The love of our Savior is such that He would let us serve with Him. When we get home, we're going to share a servant's joy. We're going to know what it is to have been a servant and share the joy of that servant of all servants who is there now having pleased His Father in everything. We're going to share just a little bit of that joy with Him. And He wouldn't have any joy in Himself if we couldn't share it. That's how much He loves us. But how do we know these things? You only know Him. The Spirit of God has come down and He is a person. He gives life. That's His work. He indwells. That's His presence. And you know, we heard in one of the meetings, I remember the word that was brought before us. he can be grieved. And I've thought of this, you know, in the house, my time's up, but in a house, a lot of times in the house we have switches that really, let's just say maybe they shouldn't be there. Switches in the house. You can switch something on, but you know you can't switch the Spirit of God on and off. And maybe you want to turn a switch on in your house and you want to turn it off. Well, you can't turn the Holy Spirit on and off. He's a person. He can be grieved. And he has come down with more treasure than this world could ever dream existed for my poor heart and my poor soul. And you know, I'd like for us to just think maybe in one last statement I'd like to make. You know, beloved, we are poor. We are weak. We don't even know how poor and weak we are. We use those words and we don't know what they mean. But I want to tell you something. Get in the presence of God and sit there. You're not going to be talking about how poor you are. You're going to be talking about how great our God is. What godliness is really all about. We joy in God. We sing the song, we joy in God. Oh, there's what we have set before us. Why would I want to leave the switch off and go to my Bible? Why would I want to set something else aside and go to know more about the Lord Jesus? Oh, God was pleased in that, and I know He's got a world of pleasure out there just for me. I don't have to go anywhere else for it, just to Him. And therefore, my heart does cry out for Him. There's some room left in there. And when I hear something I don't understand, perhaps, about all the wonders of Christ, I just hide it right in here.